The coach has been hired, announced, introduced, and now with the draft lottery in the rearview mirror, it is time for the Phoenix Suns to figure out what exactly they're going to do this offseason. And that is the topic of a big, long story. And it's been up on ESPN.com, I believe, for a couple of weeks, but they keep adding new content to it as new information is available. Biggest NBA free agency draft and trade decisions for all 30 teams. And joining us right now is the front office insider for the NBA, works for ESPN, Bobby Marks, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo show and in part wrote an awful lot about the Phoenix Suns and what their offseason is going to look like. How you doing today, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How you doing? Actually, the Suns article will be out, I think, in a couple weeks here. But, yeah, we've got half of it up there right now. But the manuscript 2,500-word Sun article will be out in probably about 10 days here.
Well, this is simple. Just they're at about $7.5 to $8.5 million in cap space. They probably need to get to about 20 to 25. So in 5 seconds, just, like, give it to us. What do you do to free up enough money to go get – like, they have interest. Thaddeus Young, Julius Randle, they want to get a power forward. I'm thinking that's around 10 to 12. They need to get a point guard, but they're not going to pay 20 for a point guard. So you're probably looking at the 6 to 8 range. So they need money. How do you get there?
I think there's a couple ways. I mean, I think you look at what you want to do with Kelly Oubre. Are you comfortable bringing him back? He's a restricted free agent. You know, his cap hold is, you know, 9 and change. So that's one decision there that would, you know, see that number increase to, you know, 16, 17 million. Of course, there's Josh Jackson, you know, with his salary. Have you lost patience with him, you know, going into year 3 here, especially the inconsistency, the off-court transgression from a couple weeks ago? That's another option there. I think you look at the Tyler Johnson contract. I know where it is at, you know, 19 and a, you know, half million, but is there a team out there like Atlanta that would take him and probably maybe that Milwaukee pick that you own from the Bledsoe trade? That can, you know, certainly we've seen Milwaukee do that the last couple summers with Carmelo Anthony, Jamal Crawford. And then also you have the TJ Warren contract. As far as are you going to draft a wing to replace Warren? How does that work out? So I think there's always, although you don't have it, I think I've learned there's always ways that you can kind of manufacture cap space.
Kelly Oubre came in here and just set the city, not literally on fire, but metaphorically on fire with how he played and how he led, and everybody loved him. But there is a price and there is a limit. In your mind, how much is too much for Kelly Oubre?
Well, it's funny. You know, I compare Kelly Oubre to a situation we had back in New Jersey. We couldn't shoot the lick out of the ball and made a trade for Sasha Vujic in 2011. And Sasha came in and shot like 40% from 3, and we thought everything was great in the world. But we were also on a team that won, I think, 20, 25 games that year. So I think I would be careful and pump the brakes a little bit on Kelly as far as what a number would be. You know, I would certainly be comfortable paying him between 10 and 12 million. I think the day and age when we, you know, of the summer of 2016, when teams are spending $16-17 million on wings, I think those days are over, especially in this market where we know who the big name free agents are going to be. I don't see a team going out there and slapping an offer sheet down on Kelly here. So, yeah, I mean, I think I would be comfortable in that $10 to $12 million range, just because I'm not ready to kind of cast him as a proven product right now.
Boy, you are right on the money. That's what they want to pay him. They want to pay him somewhere in that 10 to 12 range. If it gets to 14 or over, they may pass because they simply don't want to pay their third best player over $15 million a year. You know, they're going to build around Booker and Ayton. They'd like to trade Josh and TJ and keep Kelly and McHale, but if Oubre's number does get higher than 13, $14 million, then they could let Kelly go and keep one of Josh or TJ. But they are going to move one or two of these wings for sure.
Well, yeah, and I think for Kelly, too, I think if there's not an offer there, I mean, you could always go the qualifying offer route. And I know it's the 1 year, and I think that would open up some more flexibility because, you know, for his agent's sake, you look at the summer of 2020 class, it's not a good class. So, guys, I think if I'm willing to bet on myself, then, yeah, I think you can kind of go that route if you don't get the right offer. But I think I know TJ was, you know, injured since January. I think he would still have value. I think his contract's manageable here. Josh is, you know, as you know, going into that year three and is on one of those rookie scale contracts. So, as I said, they're manageable contracts to move if the goal is to kind of go out and create cap space. Which I think the day of, you know, being that team that takes on contracts, I think this team wants to start winning here, right? I mean, like, get NBA guys in here, get NBA veterans, guys that can come in and help with, you know, with Booker and Ayton and whoever you draft with your pick there.
So Bobby Marks joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show, ESPN NBA front office insider. This is a loaded, big picture, 30,000 feet kind of question here. But in your mind, what does the as close to perfect as you can get offseason look like for the Phoenix Suns?
Well, of course, you know, the point guard is going to be priority one, as you guys have said. But, you know, who is that point guard? Are you going to find one in the draft there? Is it a Darius Garland or Kobe White, guys that you might have to wait on a little bit? So that's priority one right now. I mean, guys, I think their biggest offseason addition, we haven't even gotten to July 1, is Monty. I really do. I mean, I'm a huge Monty Williams guy, and not because we share the same agent. I mean, just because I just think he brings, and you've seen the rotating doors of coaches, I just think he just brings a professionalism, a stability, almost like a father figure. You know, not a guy that's going to be leaving after 1 year, but a guy they know is going to be there for 5 years here. So I think it started with Monty. I think it starts in a month from now in the draft. And I think the goal is to go into free agency with whatever money you have and address point guard if it's not addressed in June, you know, and bring in NBA-level type guys. You mentioned two good names. Thaddeus Young would be perfect. Julius Randle would be perfect. The question is kind of what is going to cost them? Is it going to be in that, you know, that $9 to $11 million range?
Yeah, 10 to 12. And then the point guard thing, Bobby, and then I really do want your opinion on this because, look, they're not bringing in Mike Conley with 2 years, a bum Achilles, and $65 million left on his contract, okay? That's not going to happen. There's no chance. You know, they're not getting Chris Paul. I mean, that like the point guard you're looking at, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, and we're going to talk about Brogdon here in a second. I think they like him, but I think his price tag is going to be high. You're probably looking at a Darren Collison, a Corey Joseph, a TJ McConnell. They're looking for a combo guard, somebody that can shoot the ball a little bit, so that way Booker's not double teamed. Do you like any of those players I just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's your next tier of point guards. You know, we know Kemba Walker, we know Kyrie Irving, we know D'Angelo Russell. Those are guys that are going to probably be too expensive for you. But you're looking at that next wave, the Collisons, the Patrick Beverley is another name there. You know, certainly, I don't know about a combo guard there, but, you know, Corey Joseph, TJ McConnell, guys like that fall into the range. I think Ricky Rubio might be a little bit too expensive, but I think that's a name to put out there to see what his final number will be.
What do you think about Malcolm Brogdon and what kind of offseason do you think he's going to have?
Well, you guys must be reading my mind because I'm writing the Milwaukee offseason article right now, and I just got finished with Malcolm Brogdon. And, you know, he's restricted. He's coming off an injury. He had a heck of a year before that injury here. I think his agent will point to the Allen Crabbe, Kent Bazemore, Evan Fournier contract that signed in the dreadful summer of 2016, guys that are averaging, you know, $17, $18 million a year. So I think that's kind of where that's the range they will look at. I would be comfortable paying him what they gave Eric Bledsoe in that extension, and I think that's where they'll point, that 4-year, $70 million extension they gave to Bledsoe. If I was his agent, that's kind of what I'm pointing at there. But as I said, you'd never know what happens in restricted free agent and if this market dries up pretty quickly.
Bobby, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes. Always good to have you on the show, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, guys.